This is the joint meeting of the ICANN board and the non-commercial stakeholders group in the Pudding Ballroom from 1645 to 1745 on February 10th, 2015.
Hey. Going ever since. Maybe.
Oh. All right, let's get started, folks. Thank you. Rafiq, get us going here.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for this opportunity again to talk with the board. I mean, between the non-commercial stakeholder group and board members, we always welcome this. We try to work hard to find what kind of topic we want to share with you, to listen to you and share our thoughts. So we hope that we can have an interesting and fruitful dialogue today about the, it's mostly two topics that we will go through. We have some lead discussant that just they will give a brief, but everybody is welcome to participate. So for today, we thought that we may discuss about public interest, content policy or content control, and then an update on privacy. We can change the order, there's no problem on it. But if you want, we can start with content policy. We will try to, I mean, maybe 25 minutes, 20 minutes, so we to be balanced here. And we will start with Ed, please.
Okay, we got that? Hi, Ed Morris. We have a concern. ICANN traditionally has said, hands off. We're not in the content. We just do names and numbers. Yet we're hearing things, specifically from Fadi. In Bali, Fadi told us the story of how ICANN, quote, in the public interest, used its resources to help law enforcement track down a pornographer. Included among the resources used was an ICANN staff member who spoke Spanish and was assigned to go through Panamanian company records to try to track the malfeasor down. So that's pornography. ICANN's getting involved in stopping porn on the web. At the NCPH meeting recently in Washington, Fadi told us about this evil Bulgarian who had put a bunch of alleged IP content online. He running out of service to Costa Rica, and ICANN was trying to figure out what to do about him. So we've gone from pornography to IP, assisting law enforcement, to trying to figure out what to do in the so-called public interest. And we understand the board's under a lot of pressure from governments, from corporations, from IP holders to try to regulate some of this stuff, despite the fact that we're just supposed to be doing names and numbers. So the question to the board is, first of all, are you aware that the staff is being used in this way? Two, and do you support that use? Two, do you intend to come to the community at some point to see if there's community support for ICANN operating in this way? And number three, it's a little, part of our concern is how this is being done on an ad hoc basis. We represent the individual user, non-commercial interest. We don't have the connections or perhaps the power plugs to play with you guys to get you to act on the content we don't like. Now, we'd prefer to have ICANN out of content altogether, but if you're going to be in content, there should be some guidelines and rules that we all understand. Sir.
Okay, let's start. Okay, thanks, Ed. And we'll see if there is Q here. Anybody want to comment? Oh, George, maybe.
Thank you. I'd be curious, in your position, is there, in your view, is there ever any time when ICANN should cooperate with law enforcement? To what extent do you think there should be limits on such activities?
Cooperation with law enforcement through the issuance of subpoenas is one thing. Assigning your staff member to go through corporate records in Panama is something entirely different. No, personally, and I believe it's the view of the majority of our stakeholder group, ICANN should not be involved in content regulation, period. David?
I think a counter question might be not so much when do we, how much transparency do we feel there should be in cooperation with law enforcement? And the answer from us will be a lot. And then we will be able to give you a much better question about, much better answer about whether or not we feel it's appropriate. I mean, certainly, I think there are times when ICANN should be cooperating with law enforcement when it's, you know, for example, when there's a situation that clearly involves a large number of registries and is, you know, but that may not be, we want a lot of transparency about that and a clear limit on when it's necessary.
Okay, thanks, Dave. I think Steve wanted to comment here.
Actually, with the arrival of Fadi, I think it'll be very helpful. And beg your indulgence to do a super quick recap, 100 words, just to bring Fadi up to speed, and then we can proceed from there. I think it'll be helpful.
Sure. Sorry about that.
Sure. Welcome, Fadi. We were speaking about the comments you've made in Bali about ICANN's involvement with busting up the child porn ring. And then in the NCPH meeting, you talked about the Bulgarian IP interest. What you're going to do about that with the guy with the service in Costa Rica. So our concern is ICANN is starting to get involved in content a little bit too much. And that's really not part of our mission. We'd like to see what you can say about that.
So on the Bulgarian thing, this was just an example that came to me from my staff. In fact, to tell those coming at me that we shouldn't be involved. So they basically came to me because I knew that particular, it's the CEO of a very large content company, was coming at me saying, ICANN should be basically looking, you know, at these content issues. So my staff simply told me, look, just so you understand, he's very mad at this site. And this site is registered to this person who is from somewhere but living in Bulgaria, with a registrar who's in the US, and then they showed me the whole model to explain to him that this is, you know, first of all, it's not my business because this is very complicated, and that I'm not going to tell this registrar what to do because I don't have the authority and I don't want to get into that. Of course, the content CEO wasn't happy, but, you know, so we're aware that a lot of people are coming at ICANN saying, you're giving these license plates to these people. You need to be responsible for that. You all know what happened with us with the whole Wall Street Journal article. This was very complicated, right? I mean, are we responsible when somebody does something with a website like a pharmacy site? Is this our responsibility? Well, the Wall Street Journal basically was saying, it is. It is your responsibility. And we're saying, well, this is far more complicated than you think. My staff showed me, for example, in preparing for that meeting, a site in Holland that is run by a feminist group to provide abortion drugs to women in countries who can't get them. You know, so who am I to decide if this is a bad site or a good site? It's complicated. So we shouldn't be in that business.
Yeah. So
that's the bottom line.
But that's
our position.
But the claim is being made that in some instances we have facilitated law enforcement. We've been on the other side of that.
So if there is a clear, bright line of legal issues, for example, and frankly only in porn, child porn, because that is probably the only area where there is clear international, let's say, agreement that child porn is bad. So when there are clear, bright lines like that, and we receive either subpoenas or direct notices that we should cooperate, we first explain that this is not our job. And if we are asked to cooperate in a legal framework, we do. And that's standard, right? But outside of, frankly, child pornography, we're not finding any place where it is a clear, bright line.
So you would not cooperate in the absence of a subpoena or other legal directive? Okay,
yeah.
That's great to know.
We shouldn't, and if we do, and if staff does, you know, usually there is some clarity to me or someone about that. But frankly, in general, we have to respond within a legal framework. We have contracts with the registrars. We have contracts with the registries. That's what binds us. Getting into the content space is going to be very dangerous for ICANN, and it's not an area we should take lightly. And I think many people almost would like us to fall into that. And so we have to be very careful and very thoughtful. and talk to you and talk to the community to make sure as these things come up to us, we get your help. Is that helpful?
Very much. Thank you.
Thanks. Everything looks positive here, but if no further comment, maybe we can move to the next item. Avery, you want to add something?
Thanks. Avery speaking. Avery Doria speaking. I wanted to ask, and I think it's I'm talking. Okay, I'll talk closer. I'm wondering whether you need any help from the community in terms of standing up to the requests that aren't on the rare cases that might be with a subpoena and on the bright side. And even when there are cases that there is a subpoena, that doesn't always mean that there isn't a legal recourse, because many countries could give you a subpoena that was in itself spurious. So I'm wondering whether there's anything the community can do to actually help be a bulwark, or help build a preventative set of measures to help staff, so it isn't staff alone saying, no, we don't want to do it, but somehow enforce, help it.
Thank you, Avery, certainly, and I'll take up your offer to do that. I mean, so far, it's been pretty black and white for us. I mean, it's no, it's just not our business. It's not in our remit. Please.
Just to put context, what content would you have? You don't actually hold the registration data, nor do you control any of the systems that host the content that people would be complaining about. So it seems rather odd in most cases that ICANN could even respond to a subpoena. Where are you getting the data from?
No, so it's not that kind of data, Bruce. I think where we were, there are people asking us to get involved in takedowns, or at least in figuring out that a site is engaged in activities that are legal. I mean, of course, we discussed at length the whole pharmacy thing, right? What is ICANN's or the registrar's or the registry's role in shutting down or participating even in any activity to shut down pharmacies online, right? And so the new role, is Alan Grogan in the room? You know Alan Grogan, of course, was appointed as head of compliance, and he added a new layer to his compliance role that you see in his title called consumer advocacy. And his job is to go into these kind of areas where the contract is not superbly clear and address these. So he's been very good at, frankly, making the arguments. You recall in London or in LA, we had a gentleman stand up with 20,000 plus signatures telling us, you know, senior citizens in America are begging you not to close Canadian pharmacies because... So Alan engaged with him, engaged with the other side, and has been just at least having a dialogue that is largely to explain that it is not our work. That's all it is. So before, they used to be frustrated and start then calling Congress and calling different people in the U.S. At least now we have Alan Grogan engaging with these interests, explaining what our role is, and hopefully clarifying that ICANN will not be in the business of takedowns. This is not what we should be doing. So I hope this helps. And Avery, I really appreciate your views on this too. And I hope you reach out to Alan, who's been kind of taking the frontal engagement on that. Thank you.
Okay, I think we can take last comment here. Yeah, please.
Thank you. Arun Sukumar from the National Law University in New Delhi. So presumably any dialogue between governments and ICANN on the issues that we are discussing right now, on the question of takedowns or the legality or illegality of certain actions, presumably creates a paper trail. How accessible is that documentation to end users of the internet from ICANN side? Thank you.
So, first of all, there is no discussion between governments right now about takedowns with us because we've never done them. We don't do takedowns. In other words, it's not like they send us a request, take down these six sites. When President François Hollande, after Hebdo Charlie, decided to shut a number of sites in France, he didn't call ICANN. I mean, he called Orange and he called the telecom companies in France, and he decreed that they should close sites. So we don't get these requests, but we educate. So when we had in the public forum people saying shut pharmacies, so Alan just engages with them and says, look, this is why we don't. This is so it's just not some formal requests we are responding. This is simply engagement, telephone calls, calling people, explaining where ICANN's role stops and starts. And I think it's been very successful to have him on board and to have him have that dialogue so people understand the limits of our remit. I hope this helps a little bit.
Okay. I think really we can move to the next item, which will be introduced by Bill Drake.
Thank you, Rafiq. And good afternoon, everybody. My apologies. Good afternoon. Last time we met, we thought we would do something easy, so we raised with you the question of human rights and how that could be incorporated more fully into ICANN's work. And because that was such an easy one for us all to tackle, we thought we'd come with another one of a similar character this time. In the spirit, though, of having a conversation together, it's not so much a matter of a question and answer, but rather we're trying to think about something and we're wondering what you're thinking about it as well. And that is the notion of the global public interest. The public interest, by the way, I really hope next time we're going to not do this format and that we can reorganize this room in a more conversational manner. The notion of public interest is obviously it's in the bylaws, it's in the affirmation of commitments, and it's coming up more and more in more contexts. GAC members are increasingly referring to the public interest and explaining positions. In the accountability discussion, people have been talking about, how we root the accountability structures in the public interest framework, et cetera. And it's not clear, of course, what standards we're following or what we all mean when we talk about this. Now, the ICANN draft 5-year operating plan lists as one of the strategic objectives developing and implementing a global public interest framework, which includes development of a, quote, common consensus-based definition of public interest. And you had a strategy panel that tackled this question a couple years ago and put forward a rather concise but arguably limiting definition of the public interest. You have a department now in the ICANN organization, and I'm always tempted to say secretariat because I'm used to international organizations, but in the staff that deals with public responsibility and public interest issues. This morning, NCUC had Nora Abusida and Megan Richards from the European Commission in to spend an hour talking about this concept and what do we mean by it. And we've talked about this in a number of other contexts as well, including at the non-contracted party house meeting that was recently held in Washington, D.C., between the non-commercial stakeholder group and the commercial stakeholder group. And there's no consensus, certainly, within NCSG on this matter. I can just say straight out, we're quite divided in our thinking about this. Some of us, I think, worry that having a undefined, vague standard allows the term to be easily appropriated and used to justify all kinds of different types of agendas that may or may not actually be in the public interest in the view of other people, and that having some sort of structured process to at least bound the discussion a little bit more and understand more fully what each other means by it if not necessarily even arrive at a specific definition, would be useful. Others of us, though, worry that for ICANN to plunge into this arena in any detail just invites us into an abyss that we will never get out of, that we cannot possibly come up with any kind of a consensual definition or shared understanding, and that it will end up becoming a political football that leads us all, leaves us nowhere. So we're a little puzzled as to how to proceed or whether to proceed with this, but it is in the operating plan. So I presume, we presume, that the board is thinking about this at some level, whether there should be some sort of a process to try to get your arms around the notion of a global public interest. If so, we'd like to hear from you how you are thinking about this, how you're thinking about taking it forward, if you are, because it's in the plan, and how we in the community could interact with you in shaping that, if that is indeed something that's going to be happening. And Fadi, you said also Washington, D.C., and I actually have it in, I read it right out of the transcript. You said, one of my missions for this year is to come up with a definition of the public interest, and we need the community to help. So it seems to me this is a big problem. It's been out there for a long time, and I want to know, we would like to talk to you about how you're thinking about it. So I stop there, and I invite great thoughts from all concerned. And don't all rush.
Okay, so yeah, we try to get more input, comment, if someone wants to. Yes, Wolfgang, please go ahead.
Just a question, you know, do you come back to the human rights issue, or is this now?
Well, this is a.
Do you have divided this point into two parts? Public interest.
Thank you for poking me on that, because I forgot. So when we talk about the question of the public interest, some of our colleagues feel that human rights is so intimately bound up with it that you have to address the two together. And some of us, I think that doing so makes it even more complicated, and it's a little bit good to kind of bracket them a little bit and talk about them in parallel and think about the linkages. So I'm asking here, we talked about human rights last time, so I was concentrating here more on the public interest side, but we're open to any kind of discussion, however you see this.
Okay, yeah, I understand this. You know, my comment was not on this public interest debate, but on the human rights dimension, because we have a new document on the table. Now the paper which was delivered by Article 19, which has enriched the debate, because so far we had the study by the Council of Europe, which was of a very general nature, very global and complex, but the Article 19 paper is more specific and speaks about the obligations which a corporation has under the human rights conventions. I think in particular, recommendation two, there are four concrete recommendations. And article, in my eyes, the recommendation two of the Article 19's report is very useful, because it speaks about the first simple step to raise awareness, so that people, both, you know, ICANN board members, members of councils, advisory committees, and the staff, is more aware about this. We had a discussion whether, you know, new institutions should be established or bylaws changes are needed. If you go back to the Articles of Incorporation, Article 4 of the Articles of Incorporation of ICANN says very clearly that the corporation shall operate for the benefit of the internet community as a whole, carrying out its activities in conformity with relevant principles of international law and applicable international conventions. So what does it mean? Internet convention is not specified. I think ICANN is not a trademark law organization, but ICANN has no right to violate trademarks. That means if ICANN makes decisions, it has to be clear that the decisions do not violate international conventions, regulated trademark or intellectual property rights. So that's why we have a trademark constituency, and we have then produced a trademark clearinghouse, which works like a watchdog. So that means if I can make decisions which violate trademarks, this is bad, has to be stopped. So you could just add behind trademarks human rights. So ICANN is not a human rights organization. We do not set standards for human rights, but ICANN has no right to violate human rights. That means we have to respect this. The discussion of content, you know, relates to Article 19, and we have to respect human rights. ICANN cannot adopt a decision which would violate the right to freedom of expression. So, full stop. Insofar, the question is, in my eyes, there is no need for a bylaw change or something like that. We just have to create more awareness that this is part of the of our work. That's the basis for our work. We have to accept this. And then we could think about it. If there are problems, whether we need more precise mechanisms, probably to get, in a concrete case, special legal advice. We have now, under the accountability working group, 7 experts. One is an expert for international law, which includes international human rights law, Lee Bygrave from the University of Oslo. That means my recommendation would be, if there is a case now where we have a problem, then please ask this expert for advice, what he thinks about this. So this is the easiest way to start, which does not need a bylaw change or the establishment of new institutions, and then let's wait and see. You know, if the community thinks this is not enough, the legal advice does not satisfy what we expect, then we can start. But I think for the moment, this recommendation 2 of the Article 19 report is very helpful, because creating more awareness is the first step to move in this direction. And once again, ICANN has no right to violate human rights.
Okay. Thanks, Wolfgang. Thanks. Maybe Bill want to add something, and Marcus? Maybe start with Marcus first, yeah.
Thank you. Yes, I was also part of the intersessional meeting we had in Washington, and also the Frankfurt meeting of the accountability cross-community working group. This issue came up. And the point was also made that ICANN operates in an area where normally governments have the responsibility, and governments have a responsibility to protect human rights, but here we don't want governments to be in charge, so by definition it is the responsibility of ICANN to protect the human rights in question. And what are the rights we're talking about? I think one right we're already looking afterwards, and that is the copyright that is also enshrined in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 27, but there are other rights: privacy, freedom of assembly, and of course, freedom of expression are some of the key elements. But one model worth looking at is also the Global Compact of the United Nations, where there was an initiative that basically reached out to big private corporations. And it was the same philosophy as saying that more and more international activities are dealt with directly by private companies and not governments. So private companies need to assume responsibility. And there is also a question of labor standards, environmental standards, but also of human rights. And there are key documents that are included in the Global Compact: the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, International Labour Organization's Declaration of Fundamental Principles, Rio Declaration on Environment, and the United Nations Convention Against Corruption. Now, these are, of course, not all relevant for ICANN, but the model as such, I think, is worth looking into. It's a kind of parallel where companies sign up to some principles they respect. But as Wolfgang said, it is in the bylaws that ICANN has to respect international conventions. So by incorporation, that is already there, but we have to flesh out and look what is relevant. And the report, I think it was brought up at the LA meeting by the Council of Europe on human rights, and ICANN, I think, is also a very helpful starting point. But I think the discussion is worthwhile having. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Marcus. Well, okay. I think maybe Bill wanted to clarify. Yeah, no?
No.
Okay. So, Marilia, and then Walid.
Thanks very much. This is Marilia Maciel speaking. I think that we do have some issues that are being discussed in ICANN that are interrelated, such as public interest, accountability, and human rights. And it would be nice if we could keep track on their evolution to make sure that communicate with each other. I agree that human rights would be one possible compass to guide the discussion of public interest. Probably there are other issues that we could take into account, but I think that it would be important as a baseline that the public interest is consistent with human rights, especially because if we think that due process is one key issue when we discuss human rights, due process is also very important if we want to make sure that the public interest is observed, that all voices are inserted into the process properly. So I think that they are related and they should be discussed together, but not necessarily conflated. And with regards to human rights more specifically, I think that the discussion is gaining traction and substance inside with the community. We have held sessions about it in LA, in London, now in Singapore. We have talked to different community leaders of SOs, ACs, and it seems that overall, the community sees that there is an opportunity and it's necessary for us to engage in this discussion in a more structured way, maybe in a cross-community effort. We can discuss what is the best way to do it, but I think that it is gaining traction. I have been just sitting through a session in the GAC about public interest, human rights, and international law. And also among GAC members, there was strong support for the creation of a working group inside the GAC to discuss human rights and international law that would communicate with a cross-community effort to discuss human rights. So there was broad support for it. I mean, all the countries, as far as I heard, were in support of it, US, UK, Brazil, European Commission, many European countries. So I think that it is gaining traction. It's a very positive development. And maybe I would like to ask the board and Fadi, if you see a good way forward for us to move with this discussion, do you believe that there is opportunity for this cross-community effort? What are your views on that in terms of practical? If there is this interest, how we should proceed in your view? Thank you. Sorry, there is a session tomorrow, I forgot. There is one session in the agenda at 10:30 about human rights in ICANN, and we have invited the whole community. If you can be there and attend, it would be great. It's in Sofia at 10:30. Thank you.
So one idea could be, I guess, to form a cross-community working group across the different parts of ICANN. So it sounds like you're engaging with GAC, which is great. I imagine ALAC will be thrilled to be involved. And any other groups that are interested. I mean, our role here is, you know, if you develop some policies that come through a consensus policy process, you know, we would obviously approve them. We don't make the policy, in other words. So, you know, it sounds like you're doing all the right things. You know, you're reaching out to the different parts of ICANN and at the relevant time, you know, form a cross-community group across these different areas and then develop policy, I guess.
Yes, so you want to respond, or we can go to...
Well, so Marilia, let me just say this. We drifted because we started with Bill talking about kind of a definition of public interest, and we moved into the human rights discussion. I appreciate the need for both, but just to make sure we don't forget getting back to Bill on his question. So on the broader question of human rights, this is complicated. And I know the community has been looking at various ways to define that. I'm not an expert, and it's not my job anyway to... It's the community that should come around that. But the only thing I would ask, and this is my personal comment here, is let's make sure we not forget the valuable comment Ira Magaziner told us on Monday morning. Let's make sure that we're not conflating what ICANN's role is with the broader human rights agenda. So long as this is, you know, we understand, just to protect ICANN, and by ICANN I mean the work we do to serve the world, to make sure that any focus on that area is done in the spirit of the work of ICANN, not the expansion of our remit, then I think we are all aligned. I mean, as Wolfgang said, you know, we have no right to violate these rights. Now, you may be thinking there is more positive thing to do, but let's make sure that we do this as a community together, and that we remember that the simpler and more focused we are on our limited remit, the more we are meeting our objectives as an organization. On Bill's question, which he's been very patiently waiting for some addressing, Bill, you are right. There are two places where we have made progress, but we now need to coalesce together on the issue of public interest and come up with something. The first area is, don't forget, the community developed a new strategic plan that has a very specific fifth column for the first time that says one of the five top objectives of ICANN globally is the global public interest. So we now have a key objective for the next 5 years to focus on that. The second thing is, if you remember my foray into these strategic panels, you still remember these? You happily forgot them. But one of them, if you remember, with Nee Quaynor and Sir Tim Berners-Lee and others, was focused on public interest and public responsibility. And they produced, I think, a pretty decent report. But again, we said their work was simply to inform. It is not the community's work. It is just a work that can inform. So these are two pieces of work to start with, and our bylaws. And I think you're right, Bill. We should make sure we're all aligned on what that means. And I welcome your initiative to help the community start using what I mentioned, the three pieces I mentioned, as a starting point to inform us to move forward on that. And we have a department doing things in public responsibility, so I think they'd be delighted to see that the work is moving in a common. You have my support for that, Bill.
Okay. Thanks, Fadi. We will try to back to the discussion about the public interest issue. We have, I think, some people want to comment before. So I think Dave, Walid, and George. Yes, Dave, please. Yeah.
So it's important to, I think, both the, we could easily draw a little Venn diagram. Public interest is not human rights. The human rights discussion is not always the same as the, you know, there is a strong overlap, but they're not the same. There's other aspects of the public interest. When we're in Washington, Bill talked about how the telecommunications sector has thought about it, developed models for thinking about it in economic ways and so on. I think one of the things that, I mean, this is really, I mean, I'm saying this is my personal opinion, but I think there would be some fair bit of sympathy for it, which is that the public interest trying to work in the public interest, but with a very loose, undefined idea of what the public interest is, has got us into some trouble. Really welcome that this is going to be a real focus. And I think in terms of a definition of public interest, maybe is too simple. We should be thinking in terms of processes by which we work out what the public interest is. It needs to be from both the community and the the staff will both need to work on this, some of these areas and human rights we sort of talk about. Again, we talk about it as a relatively simple. Here's the list of human rights, but actually, human rights law is complicated. There are people with enormous expertise in it. Some of them are within the community. We do this with security, stability, and resiliency. We have a clear objective. and we have developed, made sure that, and I generally, ICANN has done a very good job with SSR overall, because, and part of the reason is because we have clear resources and experts in both the community and the corporation who work together, and we should be moving towards that on public interest and human rights.
Quick, very quick thing. I want to repeat that in Washington, thanks to Kathy Kleiman making the point and Avery and others, I did say, and I stand by this, that I agree with the community and we will work with you, that our definition, our work together on defining the public interest, in many ways that has to be rooted in the understanding that human rights are part of that. So we're there. We just need to kind of figure out how to get there together, and we will make sure part of our discussion we understand the linkage between the two.
Thanks, Fadi. So we have Walid and George on this topic, and then I think we will go to the public interest.
Walid Al-Saka, for the record. I'm talking now as an outsider. You mentioned human rights. I'd say imagine myself being an outsider, an end user. And the word end user is quite, you know, familiar to us in NCUC. In my position as an end user, I still have some sort of unwritten contract. I expect with ICANN, I expect that if I access a website, the procedure, the process will get me through to the domain and then to the network. But there are occasions when this connection is disrupted. And this disruption could be in action, for example, in the form of filtering. Oftentimes happening not transparently, leading to me, instead of going to a particular website, going to a malware website or perhaps another government website or tracking website. However, so far we have not seen an attempt through which ICANN could actually have a mechanism in which cases or well-known cases where users were redirected because of this, having their rights taken of accessing an open and transparent internet taken away without firm action. I understand it's complicated given the sovereignty of countries and ISP issues, but then the issue is that as now talking on behalf of NCUC, I feel we're obliged as this body to communicate the need for the end user to be connected to ICANN. We can't just have a name saying non-commercial end user without having the end user into account. So we need to take that into account. So one way of doing it is that at the core of the ideas of connecting users is guaranteeing security of the user, guaranteeing the openness and accessibility. So one form that could work out, perhaps, is allowing reports from users to a particular group in ICANN that report cases of these actions. And then from that, not necessarily taking action directly, but forming some sort of team or body that monitors and tracks and ensures that whether there is such a widespread case, this would be handled with the ISPs and with the groups beneath, so that it's not a matter of content, it's a matter of access. So I feel that these practical things need to have their position in ICANN, though, because eventually if we disregard the end user, we may actually not be doing our job. Thank you.
That's a big one. Walid, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I know how awful these practices are. But let's be genuine here. In the same way you've asked me to not get into the content, in the same way if we have to get into these kinds of issues, it's a big leap for ICANN to start getting. Now, it's different from me saying when I go and visit with an official in a country that I bring it up, which I do. You know, I bring up that, that these things do not support an open internet that we all need. But it's complicated for ICANN to step into, outside of our remit, into these areas. With all due respect to the issue, because I'm very disturbed by these practices, I think this is a great activity or a thing to do, for example, in ISOC. This is where the Internet Society could be, frankly, very, very helpful on the ground. That's the kind of issues they are good at and they can take through their chapters. I was going to send you to ALAC, because in a way that's our end user group, but again, that would be taking them potentially out of their remit, because that's not our remit. So with all due respect to the issue, which is a big issue, I really don't think we should be proactively building teams to go after solving these issues. I may be wrong, so I invite our much more experienced board members in that space to give me their view, because that's an important question you're asking. I'm not taking this lightly or just throwing it to ISOC.
Have a cube, sorry. So George, please, and then we have Bill, and then Milton and Mike, please.
Thank you. I want to go back to something Maria said a couple of minutes ago. She was talking about an activity, and then she said, well, perhaps this might be a cross-community working group and so on. That sounds like a means to something. And I'm wondering if you could state, I don't know whether Maria will do it or somebody else, what is the goal of this activity, and how will you know when you have achieved it?
Okay, Bill.
You're asking what is the goal of the activity on human rights?
The activity that was mentioned.
Yes. Okay. Would you like to answer that before I return to the public interest dimension?
Thank you. This is Marília Maciel speaking. I believe that one of the things that we have noticed is that some policies, they have raised concerns related to human rights, such as WIS and privacy that is going to be discussed in the next topic, or the new DTLDs and freedom of expression. But we are always looking at the issues when the policies are already approved. So we are trying to fix it afterwards, and that creates problems, that creates difficulties. It would be easier for us to have a way to have a human rights assessment, a look, while the policy is being developed, so we make sure that they are developed in accordance with the standards, harmonized with the standards that we have. How to do this? I think that there are several options, and I think that the cross-community working group, if one is to be created, would have the role to try to figure out what would be the best way to introduce this assessment, this look, inside what has been established at the normal PDP in ICANN. Thank you.
Sorry, I think it's a matter of establishing a criteria, broadening the base. So, in any event, returning to the point of the public interest. And I think Milton is going to speak afterwards, so he'll tell you why I'm completely wrong here. But in telecommunications and other regulated industries, where the concept has been used for a long time, as David noted, you do have various sorts of dimensions that are built into this, such as, for example, dealing with problems of market power, market concentration, right? Which is not necessarily a human rights issue directly, but it is something where, you know, in the United States, the Federal Communications Commission nominally was supposed to be working to preclude abuses of market, you know, the development and abuse of market power. As a public interest thing, the way in which the airwaves is regulated and so on. So there is a question of saying, what would be the comparable sorts of questions or comparable sorts of criteria that you would want to think about with regard to ICANN's remit? And how would we develop a discussion around that that would be useful? I don't think we have to try to come to one single bounded definition, as I said, but I think we do need to at least have a broader inventory and understanding of what each other means, or what are some of the different types of considerations that people have in mind when they use this term as a starting point. Now, I look at the public responsibility strategy panel's definition, and they say it's making sure that the internet continues to be stable, inclusive, and accessible across the globe. So those are three principles that sound pretty, you know, enticing. We all like stable, inclusive, and accessible. What does that actually mean in operational terms when you get down to trying to deal with GTLD policy, et cetera, becomes less evident. So that this is the kind of question I think we have to try to spell out. What are the elements that people would consider from a principal standpoint to be relevant, and then how do those translate into concrete policy practices and so on. And I would like to hear how different parts of the community view that question. I would be curious how the intellectual property people view it versus the registries versus the registrars versus the CCs, just as a way of trying to get out on the table where are we in our thinking, and so we can begin to bound the question a little bit. It doesn't have to arrive at a single sentence definition, but it would at least be, I think, useful to do that. And if I understand it, it's part of the agenda. So I'm trying to find out how you intend to proceed with that. That's what I'm probing for.
Okay. Yes, let's take question. I think Milton wants to speak, and then Mike later.
Yes, this is Milton Mueller for the record. I was heartened to hear that you understand why you don't want ICANN to be or pretend to be a human rights organization with positive obligations to, you know, promote certain things. But you don't seem to understand why you don't want ICANN to also be a global public interest organization. In other words, these things seem very symmetrical to me. It's correct, as Wolkan says, that you don't want to violate human rights, and it would also be correct to say that you don't want to violate, you want to do things that are not in the global public interest. But if you put into your strategic plan that we are now pursuing the global public interest as part of our core mission, it sounds to some of us as if it's a massive expansion of your mission that kind of opens doors for you to do anything that could be rationalized. Maybe it means you're going to start using the auction proceeds to fund, food for starving babies. This professor is not starving, especially not at ICANN meetings, but you know, it seems like mission creep. It sounds like a grand, new, open-ended set of obligations, and it makes me nervous, frankly, because, of course, based on what Ed had said to you earlier, there could be all kinds of pressures on ICANN to become a global regulator of the Internet, not just the domain name system. So how does that get in there for 5 years? What do you do with it, and how can we get it out for the next 5 years?
The answer is for the community to tell us. It's not my decision. My voice is only a voice like yours in the community. So let's, as Bill suggested, let's not just come up with a sentence. Let's come up, as David also said, with what does it mean that we have all agreed, not me, I didn't put it in the strategic plan, you did, that we need to focus on the global public interest as a fifth goal. That was a community developed plan that took 18 months of input and consultation. So again, I'm listening to the community. Let's figure out what this means, and let's translate it, as David said, into how we do things. What does it really mean to say that, rather than come up with a nice, glorious paragraph that we can put on the wall? And I think, Milton, you would find most of us, including myself speaking personally, to agree with you that let's not use this to expand what ICANN is and what ICANN should do. I think what Ira Magaziner said on Monday morning, frankly, is etched in my mind from someone who has some more gray hair than me, saying, look, keep it simple, stick to your knitting, get your job done, and I think he's right. If we expand what ICANN does, we lose our focus on what we're here to do. So you have at least my voice in that, but I need everybody's voice to define what that means, which Bill is taking the leadership to help us do. And I will, Bill, in terms of next steps, you asked, I will have to connect both Nora and Samantha to you after this meeting so that we can figure out how we can help you move this ball forward within the community in any way we can.
Thanks, Freddie. Mike, please.
Thanks very much, Rafid. I've said in the last couple of meetings, and this issue keeps coming up repeatedly, and I really appreciate that we've actually had an engagement today instead of a somewhat adversarial interaction about it, because I'm beginning to understand why this question is being asked in terms of what is ICANN's role and what is ICANN's perspective on human rights. It sounds, though, that there's some different perspectives. Some people want to ensure that we're become a human rights observatory, others that we're a human rights advocate, and others that we don't get mission creep into the field of human rights. But it would have been really helpful, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 meetings ago, whenever this issue first arose, if we could actually get a problem statement and maybe even some suggestions, because I'm hearing good suggestions over here. I'm hearing some that I don't think are workable or don't belong in the context of ICANN. You know, I think it's great that there is some interaction with ISPs dealing with issues of filtering. Just given the number of ISPs who actually arrive at ICANN, I don't think that this would be a really good place to have it, because you'd be talking to 3 or 4 people, none of whom are from your country or region. So I think it would really be helpful if we could get a better problem statement and some suggestions, rather than the kind of adversarial response or questioning that we've been having up until now. And this has been really positive, so thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Okay, so we'll get a comment from Dave, and then we try to move to the last item in the agenda.
Just a really sort of brief, just wanted to comment on the sort of interaction from Walid and Fadi there. I agree that sometimes these tools to sort of monitor things like state surveillance is not ICANN's role, but as someone who is intensely interested in this area, ICANN has been providing us the tools which those of us who are looking at that are some of the things you've been doing are really helpful. So ICANN's things like DNSSEC, I'm about to use a large project where I'll be working as part of a large project with the EFF. We'll be using the CZDS, the centralized zone file data. These things are really helpful and we do appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. I think we can get 2 or 3 minutes.
Just bargaining.
Yeah, we can. Come on, we are in Middle East, North Africa, so we need to bargain for everything. Okay, so we get 3 minutes, and Stephanie will give us an update on privacy. It should be short.
Yes, thanks very much, Stephanie Perrin, for the record, and I'll be very brief. When we were last in Singapore, I think we spoke to you and we told you that we didn't think that the ICANN privacy policy was quite up to snuff. And so we offered to take it back and bring you back comments. We haven't forgotten. We've been working on a draft. We're in the middle of doing our last final community consensus. And we'll be sending you a letter with the analysis of the existing policy and some commentary on it. So that's all I have to say, just an update.
And what's your ETA?
I would think we should have it within a month.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay. Any comment on this? Or?
No, well, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. This looks a kumbaya moment. Thanks, everyone, for attending today. I think we have a good dialogue, and we expressed several opinion, and looking for the next time. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.